He do, but he ain't got no gold teeth in his mouth.
Yep, if you missed it.
Lacking.
That was West Side Mike questioning Marshall Harris's Alabama-ness because he lacks gold teeth.
That's where we're at. That's, you know what? That was part of the experience.
So you're not trashy enough for Alabama?
Gold teeth aren't trashy.
No, it's
a cultural thing. It's fine.
Not you don't have an
I have plenty of
Alabama
relatives with gold
teeth. I have plenty of relatives with gold teeth.
Okay, I didn't mean to call them trashy.
That was not one of the things that my parents allowed me to go in that direction at any point in my youth.
But it damaged your TV possibilities.
Hey, in 2024, who knows?
It depends on the market.
Right, exactly.
Depends on the market. That's well said.
Thanks for listening to our portion of the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We thank Steve Weish, Anthony Heron, and Carmen Vitale for joining us today. And we thank Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell for doing all their stuff. It's Spiegel and Holmes time, and Lawrence has brought a Chicago vintage art piece.
A relic. I brought a relic in today. I mean, it's 30 years old.
Wow.
At least 30 years old, maybe 35 years old.
It's a Chicago Vice poster with the beautiful font stolen straight from Miami Vice. And then the white linen pants and the white jacket for McMahon with what Lawrence, would you say that's a powder blue shiny T-shirt under
yeah.
the McMahon
and,
suit?
And it yeah, matches
Miami
the,
blue. It's the Art Deco colors.
Yes, and it looks good. Yes.
So, and then Walter Payton in the suit with
being Tubbs.
The fairly skinny tie. It's the Crockett and
well,
Tubbs.
Well, that's why I brought it okay, in, so okay, that okay. Twitch could see it.
Okay.
Good. So that Twitch could enjoy it for today. I went to go see my parents this weekend, and my mother has been purging the entire house and basically like, get your crap and get it up out of here. And I was like, oh, yeah, we got to bring that in. So I packed it up and brought it in for the people. Thought this would be a day to do it, celebrate. As everyone's crazy about the Bears right now, why not have a little bit of joy and bring in Chicago Vice?
Why are you celebrating the past when this should be about this team now? It should be about the now.
It can be about both.
It ought to be about both.
You can appreciate the past and also be just very much happy with what's going on in the present and hopefully the future. It's looking good right now. I was asking people yesterday, I was like, when was the last time you were this optimistic about a Bears team? And people couldn't come up with a good answer.
No, Frank from Oak Park said it was since the 80s Finks teams that he has felt that a team has been put together with this level of forethought and completeness.
Wow. Well, that's a holistic approach and thought process that is impressive.
Are you going back that far, Spies?
No, like, dude, we felt, I mean, the summer after the double doink, it's like I don't want to be such a prisoner of the moment that I can't live in what that space was, which was incredible levels of optimism, but it was still with some quarterback hope. This is different because this young quarterback is definitively a stud for the modern age. It's like definitively, so obviously, and has been every step of the way, even as he struggled in the first couple weeks, and to see where he is now after playing six games, it changes the levels that are possible for the entire organization and changes our own perceptions of the successes of other parts of the organization.
It's only been six games, so you've already seen the floor, and now you're thinking, what is the ceiling? You thought you knew what the ceiling was, and all of those things combined to say, hey, we may get closer to the ceiling than I thought
for sure.
possible.
But you know how we always used to say a great quarterback is the best deodorant? There's some deodorizer going on here. Even on his rookie level, there's some deodorizer. Is Matt Pryor really anything better than a replacement level guard? Does he need to be with a good quarterback?
So
I mean, I don't know whether to praise Matt Pryor's existence or not.
I like Matt Pryor. I like what the offensive linemen are doing based on what we thought they would be capable of, because there were a lot of questions coming in, even with this offensive line assembled. My question to you is this is the best quarterback in a Bears uniform since blank?
Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I think that's the objective answer.
Okay, cool.
But
it's not going to take long before I think he might be better than Cutler, though.
I'm much more excited about him than I ever was about Cutler, with the exception of the day they traded for him.
I mean,
yeah, meaning, you watch this guy. You watch this guy.
There was an NFC Championship game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's.
Yeah, no.
But Cutler always put the ball in harm's way a few times.
And he just wasn't that easy to
root for.
Caleb
did it yesterday. He did it once yesterday.
What easy to
root for part is, yeah, that's a whole other level.
He's way more easier to root for.
Yeah, that matters.
For sure. He's more likable. He seems to be a lot more fun. And there's that. We're going to give voice like way later in the show. It did surprise me a little bit of how many Bears fans are kind of scared to dip their toe because you look at the last three opponents and you go, well, those opponents are not good. What happens in week seven?
We got 2 weeks to figure it out.
But three wins in a row, I don't care who you are, where you are in the NFL, three wins in a row matters. Going to London and beating a talented quarterback, that's two consecutive routes.
We are on the same page. The fact that the Bears have scored five offensive touchdowns in the last two games, and that hasn't happened in like 70 years. Yeah, I think that it...
Yeah, somebody texted us, there have been as many, like, that it was... landing on the moon happened more. Like, there were more missions, more Apollo missions that landed on the moon than there were Bears consecutive five offensive touchdown days.
So I think that you can get really excited about it.
Number.
Just because, like, 4-2, anybody up there, if we said at the bye, you guys are going to be 4-2, they wouldn't have cared who those wins were against. They just would have been like, hell yeah, that means that we're in it. And that's for the next 2 weeks, you get to be in it. You get to enjoy all of the spoils of the Bears being 4-2. You get to enjoy Caleb Williams being the story of the morning. He quickly stopped being the story as soon as Jordan Love started playing yesterday, but he was one of the stories of the NFL weekend. Is like, wait a minute. There might be something cool going on in Chicago right now.
And the whole blueprint looking good. Let me ask it this way. After the Sunday night loss to the Texans, when with everything that was a mess on the offense that we know about now with the first 15 and everything, they were still in a one-score game. Caleb had the ball and a chance to freaking win that game. And I asked the next day, how would this be in week 8? What if that was the game coming off the bye?
Then that would be a problem.
No, you'd give the Bears a fair shake to win that game.
You're saying if they were in that same exact situation.
Yeah,
sorry, I misunderstood.
I don't mean if that was the result, but if all of a sudden you had to go to Houston and play the Texans in week 8, you'd be like, I don't know, man, this Bears team's got some stuff figured out. This is a real opponent, though. Well, but you look at it and go, Caleb's getting it out faster because he is now.
I think that's one of the reasons why, and I told Dan, I was like, I already feel like I'm taking him for granted. Like, it's competent quarterback play and he's doing things and making things happen. And yes, he put the ball in harm's way, but it wasn't because he made a bad decision. It was because he literally just executed poorly.
And the response to that was so significant to
best.
Me. Not just his
by
personal response.
The whole team.
They're like, okay, whatever. Keep doing what you're doing. And there are previous Bears teams that have said, well, that's enough of that then. No more of that downfield passing stuff.
No, DJ Moore this morning said, yeah, like I told him, man, no big deal. It's all right. And then everybody went that way. And DJ was good this morning. He said, and we all just kicked it up a notch. So the whole team just kicked it up an extra level to have his back. And he kicked it up and you saw what happened.
And that's what makes this team so exciting, because you're understanding Caleb Williams is far from a finished product. The defense is, wait, we've got several players missing out of our secondary. Watch this. A lot of that, even though it's against bad competition, not going to say that this was world beater competition. They are bum slayers.
They're,
is that fair?
A terrible football team that quit.
Yes, that's what...
and said they quit.
Cisco said
what Cisco said. They quit.
And then he sang the thong song. It was a great day.
So basically, you're feeling as good as you could feel about this team, knowing how poorly they played offensively the first 3 weeks.
And Marshall, I am here to tell you that is okay. And that's part of the issue, is that Bears fans are like, I don't know. There's got to be something.
Well, they can't enjoy the process.
There's got to be something. And you don't have to jump. You don't have to jump all the way to the end of this. You don't have to jump to next week. you can stay right here for a while.
And be good.
The bye week allows for us to stay right here and go, how cool is this?
Yeah, and, no, and go walk through a corn maze and get a cinnamon donut and some spiced apple cider and wear your bear stuff.
Avoid the pumpkin patch.
And you can put it this way. You can wear bear stuff out and not feel like an idiot.
Oh, man, you could start great conversations with strangers for the next 2 weeks, 100%. Lawrence, you're right. We should sit in this and bask in this because we have had to bathe in the opposite for freaking decades, man.
All of what Lawrence said is true, but I still do understand the Bears fan who's looking around like Charlie Brown and Lucy's holding the football.
Sure, well,
I understand.
Help them. Help them get through whatever they're dealing with because it's not about the current Bears reality. It's just not.
You're right. You're right. And that was 4-2 versus, you know,
5-4.
5-1 or 3-3. What else they could be right now if things hadn't gone their way? Because they weren't really supposed to win that first game based on how the offense played. But the defense was like, we got a game for you, defense and special teams. And so now this next game, it's going to be so much fun. The anticipation of, hey, not only are you playing a good football team in the Washington Commanders, but you got to go to their place and take the next step and say, we can do it on the road.
And they just lost a really important player, it seems.
Yes.
In the middle of their defensive line.
Yeah, they've got some injuries that they've got to weather through, but and so does a team in Detroit.
Yeah, they do. Now. That's a huge one.
So like there are all these opportunities that are in front of the Bears. But I also don't want people to go buck wild with this either. I don't want people to be like, well, they're going to the Super Bowl now. Because as you look up,
Tampa Bay going to the Super Bowl.
Which is why I pointed out the Jordan Love thing. Like, it was almost like Jordan Love was watching the game and being like,
oh, okay.
Oh, watch this.
It's interesting. So you bring up the Detroit thing, right? And I've been thinking about this, Lawrence, how Minnesota is the fly in the ointment of the grand plan
They're
of the
messing
third,
things up.
The third best team in this division,
messing
still being a playoff team. No division has ever put four teams in the playoffs.
Possible,
right?
Now.
It's possible, but no team's ever done it. So which one of the NFC North teams are going to come back down to earth? Is it Detroit now that Hutchinson is hurt? They got so many weapons.
They can
it's hard
still
for me.
Outscore you.
I think they can. Is it Minnesota because they're a myth at 5-0?
That's the most likely.
Hell's coming to breakfast. Or is it time for the Bears and Caleb to rise up no matter how well Jordan Love and the Packers play? Let's freaking go. Sunday home game against the Packers.
It's a long ways away.
I know. It's one of the three Sunday noon games.
If they can get through this portion of the schedule 7-2 or even 6-3.
Well,
let me ask you this.
You're right there.
Rank the coaches.
Oh.
In the division?
Rank the coaches in the division. I'm just saying, as far as you asked a question
that was about, very sobering
you asked a question about trust. Rank the head coaches.
Eberflus is fourth.
Correct.
But he might be third. O'Connell's better on offense.
I think
Kevin
O'Connell's
trying to have
a
happy hour.
Right,
you over here.
I would rather have any of the other three than Eberflus.
Well,
what could anything be done between now and the start of division play to change your mind on that?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even if they went 7-2, you'd still feel that way, right?
Probably.
But if you start looking around the NFC,
that's different.
And that's what you should be looking at as a Bears fan. You start stacking the NFC and you go, all right, who do you have to beat? You got to beat a team like Arizona when they come up on your schedule in a few weeks. It'd be great if you could beat Washington in a couple of weeks. That would be outstanding.
Well, and let's say this. Teams can win in spite of having a coach who is a middle of the pack coach, or worse, obviously. Nick Sirianni is
a talent.
Nick Sirianni is a thin-skinned boob. All right?
No one's arguing that in this studio.
We just went at all that. Yeah.
I mean, he is absolutely a thin-skinned boob who's like being told by his own players after the game, "No, it's okay. We like when you do that idiot thing that you just did." Like that thing is freaking chaos.
Well,
and they won with him. You know, it's like Sean McDermott has been carried by Josh Allen for a couple years now.
But they won with Nick Sirianni when everything was going great. Like, there was no adversity.
Had damn good coordinators.
They also
had Jason Kelsey.
Yeah. So they had a real leader in the... leaders.
They had two leaders.
Yeah, they had a head
Fletcher
coach.
Fletcher Cox
and Jason Kelsey.
Yeah.
You have both sides of your ball taken care of.
And the Bears have Big Bill and Mercedes Lewis. I'm not even kidding, really.
Mercedes Lewis.
I mean, you got Kevin Byard. You got a secondary that's going to drag everybody along.
You might have Caleb.
You got Mercedes and Caleb.
That might be the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Caleb's your offensive coordinator right now.
I'm sure you guys are going to talk about...
The whole unit is, Dan.
The way that Matt Eberflus answered the question about the scripted plays.
I didn't like that one bit. Not one bit.
So I did.
So what...
Had his coaches back. It wasn't quite as bad as we thought.
So what I learned from that in listening to that is like, these players that are on this, what's it called, the leadership council?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have real agency. And they use said agency as soon as possible to say, this ain't working. Let's figure this out.
This is not the way that things are done.
And which that's the scary part, right?
That's the very scary part.
That's the scary part.
And I love how, like, in Eberflus's answer, he literally gave you the definition for scripting plays.
Yes.
Where he goes,
so they had openers.
We have openers, but you know.
You didn't tell the players.
We didn't put them in order.
32 versus 38 requires different plays.
Right. And then when your veteran wide receiver goes on the score and says that we were dismayed at calls that were being made early in games that we didn't rep in practice.
Yes. That was the part that got me.
Stop doing that.
Well, it looks like
they did. And look at how well the offense is going now.
That's the positive of this.
Damn right. They have done that. And the wide receiver is saying, we're going to start doing third downs. And Mercedes is the one who made it happen. And Cole Kmet is the one who said to Caleb, you got to change that cadence right now. So like 10 seconds into his first play call in camp. So it takes a village to raise a young quarterback. And that's what's happening.
But that young quarterback is looking real good.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it.
And I'm enjoying the process. Did I like the way game one went? No. Did I like the way games two and three went?
You can let all of that go if you want.
But you can let it all go.
And you can say, look at where they're at
right now. The reason I'm saying, Lawrence, is because I appreciate the process. You're gonna have some growing pains, and that's fine. And look at where we are now. And I cannot wait for this.
Show me that smile again.
Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Exactly. So, like, I'm not wasting time on the crying. I just want to bring everybody with me and understanding, hey, it's okay that your team is not a bunch of world beaters just yet. They can only play the teams that are scheduled against them, but I am looking at this Commanders game like, yo, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Commanders game is that the NFL should be looking at it. And be like, hey.
Yeah, what do they have currently in the afternoon?
We're going to get there early in this hour, as a matter of fact. We're going to get there to the whole schedule and the possibilities. They're allowed to.
You're in the window now.
This is flexible, but it is a...
Flexible. It's fun to say flexible. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, this is the NFC Offensive Rookie of the Year Bowl.
It can be one of the data points that will solve that data point. Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be fun. Next week will be fun to do all of that. But today,
just be happy. Celebrate.
Today is a day to be happy.
To bask in it, baby.
To really, Gwendolyn Brooks, live in the along. Today is the day to live in the along. You finished that game at 11 o'clock yesterday. You had the whole...
Everybody had a great Sunday.
That was nice, too. Breakfast isolation on an NFL Sunday. Let's go.
You're running ISO?
I was running ISOs in the living room.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Eggs, bacon, a biscuit.
An American Southern breakfast. No grits?
Damn right. I had no gold teeth. Friends of mine were questioning my cred. But I stood up strong.
See, we should do that instead of the comfy win thing. There should be a threshold where you have to get a gold tooth.
No, we're not doing that.
Just
to
a temporary, maybe.
Yeah, we're not. That's,
I don't mean to. We can do it to Dan, though.
A little too familiar, Dan.
I don't mean a real one.
A little too.
I mean, if you want to do it, I think it'd be funnier if you did it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you can go Eastern European Gypsy on that, right? I can't say that.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to say it.
My bad. All right, dump that. Sean, thank you.
The Romani people or something like that. I don't know exactly. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But there's probably something I could do that would be an equivalent.
Well, I do think that it offers the opportunity to have like a West Side Micometer.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay. From hot garbage on one end.
To Mike when he's getting ready to go out and hit these streets.
Yeah.
Like you could literally put a graphic together where it's flaming garbage on one side and then Mike when he's out on the town.
With the fit on.
Yeah. And right now, the green suit, hat. You're a little farther than halfway to West Side Mike. And you're farther away from hot garbage than you've been in a long time.
And if
we're further away from hot garbage than we've been since Matt Eberflus has been the head coach.
Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are options. These are things that you can do.
I like the Lawrence positive effect today. I'm feeling the positivity. I just want to let you know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Because there's no reason to not be. Like that you don't have to.
It's quite a flip. You were the mayor of Worrytown as recently as Friday. Yeah. What happened?
The council. Well, yeah, but then they won the game.
The council meetings. And the council meetings must have been lightly attended in Worrytown.
Well,
over the weekend. Well, nobody was there.
We were over in London doing business.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
That's what you were doing.
That must have gone well.
We got a lot of business coming our way. I took a picture with the mayor of London as well. We're going to get some things done.
I had rented property in Concernville, and I feel fine about that rental property.
I think that you should go ahead and sublet. You should keep that property.
I'm going to, you're more than welcome to come live in it, but you'll leave Worrytown ungoverned.
No, I'm not going to leave Worrytown.
Okay.
I'm just not seeking re-election at this moment.
You were trying to get me to consider moving to Feartropolis, and I told you there's no chance I was going to go
what
there.
Am I still in charge of Anxietyburg?
Yes.
Okay.
You're the forever mayor of Anxietyburg.
Yeah, okay. And I believe no one wants to live there.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to.
But people do.
People do live in Worrytown. They admit that they need to.
Yeah, the people in Anxietyburg, they're not sure if they want to be there. We can't even get the property tax bills correct. And just because we have so much anxiety about sending them out.
What laws should we pass? Right.
I don't know. We obviously don't know. We have an ad hoc committee to form the ad hoc committee.
The only store.
And none of us are getting any sleep.
The only store in Anxietyburg, it sells blood pressure detectors.
Oh, that's sad.
That's actually perfect.
And there's mandatory checking every 30 seconds.
Every 30.
It's a lot of looking down.
It's a very busy time.
You're just
time.
Wearing the cuff walking around.
No, I did get through. They did the 24-hour thing, though. I wore because
I remember.
No, just now.
Oh, today?
I did it. I got again. The results. But no, they made me wear it because my doctor was like, okay, this is ridiculous. We don't know what's in your head. We don't. So
tell them what the results were.
So I wore the thing.
And you were 120 over 75.
But the average was okay. My waking versus my sleeping.
Oh, no.
The waking is way too high, and the sleeping is low normal.
Dreams.
Okay. So the sleeping is low normal.
Fine. Sleeping's fine.
It's waking.
So you sleep well. Yeah. That's good.
I'm basically a completely normal. It's like 113.
The only time when you're normal is when you're asleep.
You need to wake up less is the idea.
Don't wake up less.
That's what he told me. He said, the doctor said you need to be dead.
Oh,
and then,
no.
And then your blood pressure will be fine.
No.
Or in a coma.
That's not what the doctor told you.
Yes, he advised
you. I recommend death.
Yes, I recommend death or a coma.
I actually think that this is so great.
What a light coma.
How many people don't sleep great, and you seemingly sleep well?
Yeah, you
apparently
don't sleep
that's good.
That's
and,
halfway
and,
there.
And maybe you throwing your anxiety out into the world in your waking hours allow you to go at the end of the day. Go
here, you deal with my anxiety.
Right, that's done. Right. That part's done.
So now you can just go to sleep.
Now it's on him to figure out. The average numbers are okay. It's just the being awake part is the problem.
Mm.
So
stay woke, Dan.
That's the problem. It's too damn woke.
I knew it.
Yeah,
some people have been writing that for years.
That's what it is. It's the woke mind virus.
I do my best to keep Dan awake from the hours of 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., but that's all I can really
do. Doing a hell of a job. Doing God's work, Marshall.
Good luck to you, sir. It's a thing. It is a thing. And if you can succeed where others have failed.
Nobody's going to run
so
for that office.
So far, we are all rooting for you, Marshall. We're all counting on you. So here's what we're going to do on today's show. We're going to celebrate in the first segment. We're just going to have some fun looking at the Bears being 4-2. And then we're going to get into the Chris Flexen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start talking about flexing this game out. Should I not have mentioned the White Sox?
No, you didn't. Now you did. Now you have.
Yeah. You things are going so well, Lawrence.
It's my bad. But we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. Mark Grody's going to join us at 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, Jalen Johnson's going to be
Jalen
on the show.
Jalen Johnson replaced by the backups again. He said it was the first time in his life he ever had it last week. He got it again this week.
How about that, too? You have 2 weeks in a row where people are happy to see Tyson Bagent.
Yep.
Because in any other scenario, you're like, oh, man.
I was calling for him. He came in a drive too late for my taste.
I'm with you on that. But it's like you don't have to worry that Caleb's hurt or Caleb's bad. The backup is doing exactly what the backup should be doing. Kneeling down at the end of a blowout.
That's why I had a QB2 party, man. He's great at it.
The goal should be Tyson Bagent plays a whole game if the Bears have clinched everything.
That would be great. Mm. That's jumping too far ahead.
It's when Pat Mahomes got his start. That's how it happened.
Yeah, yes. And then he never looked back after that. So we're going to do all
that.
Same
thing will happen here.
We're going to talk. We take some calls as well in the 3 o'clock hour. It's going to be fun. We're going to celebrate. You know, we got Chicago Vice here protecting us. So we got a good day ahead for the people. That's next here on The Score.